You ever had trouble in your life?
And maybe.
Maybe we won't say when, whether it was last week or a long time ago. But you know, all of us have trouble come to us. And it's what we do with that trouble. You ever had it come to you and you start to worry? Don't know how this one can work itself out. And it's not just a passing thought. It wants to consume you. To where you wake up in the middle of the night wondering, how is this problem going to take care of itself? Well, you know, this morning we heard about heroes of faith. You know, it didn't say that that list of people never had any troubles. Most of those people had more troubles than we'll ever see in a lifetime. But there was something that caused them to come out on the other side and be listed in those that had great faith in God. I'm not so interested in having my name in a high list somewhere, but I would like to have that kind of faith. How does it come about? How can I move from the troubles that come into my life, the kind that consume me with worry, and come out on the other side to where I can have that kind of confidence in God? There was a verse of a scripture that to me gave me the answer for it. It's in Isaiah in the 6th chapter in the 1st verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah talking, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Yes. You know, probably Isaiah probably had troubles in his life, but here he got him a vision of something that would help him out. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Not just a passing thought, but I see the Lord well able to take care of any troubles that can come in my life. Yes. This morning there was a song sung. This was the chorus. When compared to God, everything's small. There's no giant that compares at all. To the Holy One who sits upon His throne. So when you come to face a mountain so high, one glimpse of God will bring it down to size. Satan will flee. You'll gain victory when you compare it to God. You know, that chorus is our answer. But the secret is that I've got to do what Isaiah did. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And there's a lot of things that can come to us that would like to put something else bigger than God in my life. No, I will say it with my mouth that God is bigger than any problem. But it's when those problems come, it's so easy for me to worry about how this thing is going to come about. There is a song in our book, number 66. It was written by D.S. Warner. And that one of the verses of that song says this: I no trouble and no sorrow see today, nor will I borrow gloomy visions for the morrow. In my Jesus all is bright. And then you read his life story. Was that kind of like the list of heroes that we read about this morning? None of them had any trouble, and he could write a song like this. D.S. Warner had some pretty big troubles come into his life. So this is not about that it's mind over matter, and I don't even see it as a trouble. No, I think what he was able to do is what Isaiah did. Yes, I've got these troubles, but I see the Lord high and lifted up. And he stays up there all the time in my life. When another trouble comes to me, I don't have to dig him back up again and try to raise him back up to meet this trouble. Know that I would live in a place where the Lord stays high and lifted up in my heart, in my life, to be ready for when those troubles come. There is a verse in Psalms 61. I'd like to just this evening look at some verses that will help us to keep him high and lifted up for me. Psalm 61 and 2. 61 and 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. See, here it's starting to show us what I will do when my heart is overwhelmed. I'm going to cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Lead me to the rock, to something that is higher than any of the troubles that will come into my life. It won't change the trouble. Trouble can still be there. But the confidence that I have in God of being well able to take care of it is what I'm looking for. There is another verse in Psalms 121. So, you know, for him to be high and lifted up, I need to go through and find the verses that caused that to happen, caused me to be able to see that. Psalms 121 and 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Here's where I'm going to be looking when trouble comes to me. And I don't want to wait for weeks worrying about it, but that immediately I would learn to take it right to the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And there is another one in Psalms 16. Psalms 16 and 8. I have set the Lord always before me. That's like Isaiah. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I choose to set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And for me to be able to see, it's not just me lifting God up, but for me to see how able he is to take care of any trouble that comes into my life. And I think of that the little story there where the disciples are going across the sea there and have this great storm, and Jesus is sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. And they come to him and say, don't you care that we perish? You know, if they would have just seen him high and lifted up, they would have realized, hey, just stay in the same boat he is. Everything is going to be fine. Don't jump out of the boat. Stay right here with him and you're going to be fine. But instead, they did not see him high and lifted up. They saw the trouble, and it was great. The trouble was real. It wasn't just something that they imagined in their mind. It was a real problem. They could see that they would be destroyed if something didn't happen. But they come to Jesus, and I look at him being able to just speak to the storm, and it goes calm. You know, that should be a lesson to me today. If I will just realize Jesus is here and all he's got to do, he's in control of this. All he's got to do is speak to this storm in my life and it can dissolve. He can take care of any problem. There is a verse, and if I say the first part of it, you will immediately remember what the last part is. Doth not nature itself teach you? And, you know, immediately you can say, yep, I know what that verse is. It doth not nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But you know what? I would like for us to take that first part of that verse and use it out in the future to see the Lord high and lifted up. You know what? Nature by itself would like to teach us things about God. Just taking a look at what he created, nature around us, will teach us about what a mighty God there is. I'd like to look at a song number 43. In the first and the third verse, our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty. From his royal throne on high, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love,
What a mighty God we serve. He maketh worlds by His command, weighs the mountains great and high. He meets the waters in His hand, spans the lofty starlit sky. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on His throne of love. What a mighty God we serve.
You know, we're going to continually be thinking about something. Our mind is going to run on something. The troubles that come to us can go forefront in our mind, and it's all that we think about. Or if I can bring those thoughts into captivity and say, you know what, they're real. But when compared to God, this is a very small problem. And be able to see that, you know what, I can look in nature around me and I can see God and the power that He has in just nature around me. I was looking at Psalms 145. The first verse, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty work, mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. One generation shall praise thy works to another. You know what? This is our generation. What will I pass down to those coming behind me? Will I be able to show by my life and by my testimony that God is high and lifted up when the troubles come into my life? There's a verse in Psalms 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. You know, the Lord cannot be made any bigger than He is. He's great already. But you know what? I can magnify Him in the place that I give Him, in my heart, in my mind. I can decrease the things that are already magnified. You know what? Troubles can magnify themselves to us. If I could have the same ability to magnify God as the troubles can get magnified to me, things would be a whole lot better off for me. So magnifying God doesn't have anything to do with making Him bigger than He is. What it has to do with is getting my capacity to understand who He is opened up some more, clearing out some things that will cause me to think, I don't know how this one can work out, and magnify the Lord with it. There is another verse that I saw in Romans in the 11th chapter, 11 and 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? You know, I was thinking about this. Who was it that gave God instruction? I'll tell you what, if you'll build it this way, it will be fine. God was the first one there, spoke it all into existence. He didn't need a counselor. He did not need instruction. And I can have times to where I look at success stories around me of people. I used to read about Sam Walton, just an ordinary man, but hardworking, and how he was able to build a Walmart chain. And, you know, those kind of success stories, I like to read them, of how a man was able to pick himself up and do things. And, you know, I can go to work every day and I can see those kind of stories. And, you know, if we're not careful, we will start to think, you know what, a man can pick himself up. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? When he looked at what he had been able to do, it caused him a problem. Because he said, is not this great Babylon that I have been able to build by the might of my own power? There were so many warnings in the scripture about us being real, real careful. Deuteronomy, to the children of Israel, there was a warning given to them. Be real careful when you come into this land and I give you houses that you did not build. I give you vineyards that you did not plant. There's going to be a danger there. That you say, you be lifted up, and you say, I was able to do this. It's a warning to us. And for me to remember, you know what? I need to. The world is pressing around us. You can be successful all on your own. You know what, folks? I need the Lord all the time. And I need, even as success comes, for Him to be high and lifted up, that He's above the successes that come into our life. That's why we thank the Lord for our food every day, is because I'm trying to remind myself. And one of the things is to remind myself, this didn't come from my own power. It was God that allowed me to be able to have it. And so I look at those, and there's times that it would be very good for me to pull myself away from this world and quiet everything down and then start seeing how great God is. There's a song that we sing, it's song number 109, Alone in Some Secure Retreat. You know, we're living in a fast, busy time to where it is hard to get our mind into a quiet place to where we can think. We have so many things going on. This song says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet, I'm thinking, Lord, of Thee. And you know what? When we can close everything else out and start thinking about the Lord, He will become great. Up against, when compared to God, everything's small. You know what? That song doesn't happen automatically in our heart, in our mind. It happens when I start seeing how great God is compared to any trouble that can come. Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet, I'm thinking, Lord, of Thee. Thinking of Thee, O Lord, of Thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my heart is tuned with heavenly love. That is available to us each one in 2018, to be able to close the world out and say, Lord, I am thinking of You. Yes. And how great You are compared to the troubles that come to us. And then when I do that, I start thinking about a verse over in Psalms in the 8th chapter. Because you know, the Lord would like for us, even looking at nature, for it to teach us something. Yes. Here is some of that lesson. 8:3 of Psalms. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained. You ever go out on a clear night and look up in the sky and see how many stars there are up there? What does it do to us? Does it do anything? Does it cause me to say how small I am in this great universe that He spoke into existence? That's what happened here. When He considered all those things, here's what came. 4th verse. What is man that Thou art mindful of him? Yes. And the son of man that Thou visitest him? You know what? That needs to be the thought in my mind as I see how great God is. It's to say, I really appreciate that You take the time out for little me. Yes. And the problems that I face in my life. And how much He cares about me individually and each one of us. You know, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? I can start looking at men and their accomplishments and start thinking how great a man is. I just get the Farmer's Almanac and I look at it and they will tell me you can expect a total eclipse will come again on this day and this hour in this part of the country. How is He able to do that? You know what? My mind starts going and I think, this man is really something. It's amazing what man is able to do. You know what all those things tell me is man has figured out how great God is. Whether he acknowledges it or not, man is really, when he's able to tell me that in 10 years there will be another eclipse at this time and we'll see it here in Oklahoma, it's because God is so constant that he is able to see this has happened time and again at this exact space. You know, God could do some things if he wanted to cause everybody to be a believer. You know, if he just, I mean, he could do anything he wanted with nature and cause people to be running to God. But he doesn't. He puts it out there for us to be able to see. Let it turn our thoughts and our hearts toward him if we want to. I look at the pictures of the Hubble telescope that they're able to send back. You know what? When I see that, it just, in my mind immediately, I say, wow, how great God is. Able to, there's things out there that I cannot even see with my eye, but God spoke it into existence. But you know, many people, when they see that picture, they don't see God in it. What they see is this explains more and more that there was a big bang a long time ago, and that supports their theory. What is man that thou art mindful of him? When we have tornado season, and the meteorologist comes on and he says, okay, it's starting right here in this town, and it's going to track this way, and these towns need to be in warned that it's going to be at your town at a certain minute. You know, I can think, wow, this man is really something. You know what he's doing? He's learning to track what God does, because you will see him go along, and then all of a sudden you say, okay, now, folks, this thing is turning. So we're going to change the we're going to upgrade this. Now it's moving this other direction. You know, he's able to follow what God has done. You know what I need from that? To be able to see, wow, you know what? God is back at the beginning of all of that. Have you ever had, I like to look at weather. I like to look on my phone and see tomorrow it's going to be this temperature and there'll be no rain for the next 10 days. You ever make plans from that? And I've got some outside work. This past Thursday, I don't think there was even a plan for rain. And that was the day that our company had picked, to the people that own our company, had picked to have a tenant appreciation day. And we're going to cook hamburgers outside for the people. When they got finished, we called them Whataburgers, because it had flooded so hard. They were just trying to keep the cooker going outside and get them inside. You know what? There wasn't supposed to be any rain that day. But here it comes, and I mean, it flooded. There was flash flood warnings. Yes. And that poor guy is outside trying to flip burgers ready for a tenant lunch. That was, man, you know what? And I can get upset at the weatherman. Why can't he do his job? And you know, tomorrow he comes back and he just starts over again, trying again. You know what, as I look at this subject right here, I feel sorry for the weatherman. He's trying to predict what God's going to do. And God just real often likes to turn it around a little bit, shake it up, to where man cannot be able to predict exactly what God's going to be able to do. So the next time you have a plan and the weatherman says, go for it, it's going to be a beautiful day, and then it pours down rain, say, you know what? God's in control of it all. The weatherman might tell me a few things. He's doing his very best. But God is in control of all things. And I need to remember what God told to Noah. You know, God had really shaken things up when he flooded the earth. And everything died that wasn't in the boat that could fly or needed to not be in water. And God comes along and he makes a promise. You know, there have been times that I have made a promise. You know what? I'm going to do this thing. You know, it's not good for a man to make a promise. If I do, I need to attach to it, if the Lord wills, I plan to do this. Because for man, things can change for us that's beyond our control. But when God makes a promise, it'll never change. It'll always be the same. And he made him a promise and he said, I tell you what, you'll be able to see this. It'll be a token to you of the promise that I'm making to you. He said, this rainbow that you will see in the sky, when you see it again, each time you see it, be reminded of something. I'm making a promise to you. This world will not be destroyed by water again. You know, people have taken that rainbow and done a lot of things with it. They have made it to where you don't want to hang a rainbow in your window anymore. But you know what? God was in control of that rainbow. He really meant, it was a promise that he was making. And he told to Noah, he said, while the earth remains, There's going to be seed time. There's going to be harvest. There's going to be day and night. There's going to be hot and cold. God is letting us know that he's in control of it all. So for me today, with the troubles that come into my life, you know, I can even get to the point that I want to tell God how he should do it. Lord, I see it this way. He does let us come to him with thanksgiving, let our request be made known. And I can tell him exactly how I would like for him to do it. But you know what? This message is real important for me when I'm doing that, to realize who God is and who I am. I cannot see into the next minute. And I'm trying to plot out what I think is going to be the best. You know, it is very good for me to realize at that time who God is, that he can see and he can plan out into the future. This that happens today seems like negative in my life. When Joseph was thrown down into the pit and then pulled out and sold, that looked like one of the most negative things that could happen to a person that loved God. 13 years of his life was spent either in prison or as a slave. Looks like wasted time. And God has a plan where he's working through all of these things with a desire to prepare Joseph for a time when he would be able to do the work that God had for him. And I'm going to try to tell God how he needs to do it. That's why Proverbs 3 lets me know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Acknowledge, Lord, it seems to me like it ought to go this way. But Lord, I tell you what, I cannot see very far into the distance. So after I've made my request of you, I submit to your will because you know what's best. And if I would have one request before the Lord, would you send into my life anything that would give me the best opportunity to make heaven? Yes. You know, Real Gibson has been out in eternity now. Yes. On our side, we call it a week. Yes. On that side, it can't be marked with time. There is nothing more important on this side than me putting my hand in the Lord's and say, send anything you need to send, because I cannot comprehend eternity. Should I miss it because I tried to tell the Lord, like the children of Israel, he gave them their request with a high price to their soul. Says he gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. And that leanness is what can cause me to miss heaven in the end. So I think what this does for me is I want to see the Lord high and lifted up. High enough lifted up that I don't even want to tell him how to do his business because I don't understand it. And he knows what it'll take to get me to heaven. And I look at the story of Job. I love the first two chapters. Job just handed it all to the Lord, lost all material possessions. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Next chapter, he loses his health and his wife tells him to curse God and die. And he still maintains his integrity. I've often wished I could find out how long was his sickness. I only have one way of knowing. Maybe somebody else knows. But the only thing I know was it was about 42 chapters worth, however long that was. Those that came to be with him sat with him for 7 days before they could even speak. There was some time passed. I don't know how long it was. But you know what? Time passing can cause me to move from holding my integrity with God to coming to a point like Job. You remember Job came to a place, he said, I wish I could talk to God. I got some things I want to tell him. I got some things I want to have an audience with him about. And you know what? The Lord came to him and visited him. I'd like to look at that. God looked down, and sure enough, he did have audience with him. 38th chapter. You know, after Job is saying, I'll tell you what, I wish I could have a talk with him about all this trouble that's coming to me. Said, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. You know, he didn't just come down on a calm day and say, I'd like to visit with you. No, the very first thing, a whirlwind, have Job all scared if he's going to die like his children died. And he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You know what? That's where we are. I can think I understand some things, and I fit in the same category. And so God now is going to have a visit with Job. This is an interesting, not just chapter, but he didn't let him go for a while. It says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Can you imagine God saying, okay, get ready. Stand up now, I'm going to talk to you. Where wast thou? Job, where were you? When I laid the foundations of the earth. Declare, if thou hast understanding. And then he went on for, I believe it was two chapters. Job, where were you when this was happening? And in the 40th chapter, it's almost like he gave him a little breathing room. And Job didn't want to talk anymore. Job was through. Job answered the Lord and said in the 40th chapter, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I'll proceed no further. Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry I even thought such a thing. And God's, there's still the whirlwind. Two chapters later now. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will, we're fixing to start all over again. But he's got a whole, he didn't have to cover the same things again. He had a whole new list of things that Job was never involved in before when God created it. And I like what happened at the end of it. Job said, I've heard of thee in 42 and 5. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, that I would have ever come to the place where I thought I could tell God what he needed to do, what was going to be the best to do. You know what? It would be good for me to remember that same thing. There, the verse that tells us in Isaiah 66 and 1, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house would you build me? What would we be able to do for the Lord anyhow in ourselves? But yet he comes down and would like to team up with us. May I always remember who God is. Yes. And who I am and how he compares to the biggest problem that ever comes into my life. He does not see it as a problem. He can speak to the storm. He can speak to any storm that comes in my life after he has taught me the lessons that I need to learn, and he can cause that storm to dissolve. You know, sometimes we look at, maybe get to buy a little bit of land here and feel like, ooh, this is really something. But you know, you compare that to the state of Oklahoma and it gets pretty small. You compare that to the United States and it's really tiny. And you compare that to the world and it's just a little speck. Yes. When I consider the heavens, I want it to do something to me. I want it to remind me who God is. Yes. And who I am. So, you know, as I start seeing these things and I start getting the world shut out, nature itself would like to be able to talk to me. There's a verse of a song that does it. I'm in a place now to be able to let nature teach me some things. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great
thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the bird sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
The world around us may even say there is no God. Remember when the king of Assyria came up against Hezekiah and he let them know, I just need to tell you, we've been through country after country and their gods did not help them out at all. And now your God won't even be able to do it. And don't let your king tell you that your God will be able to help you. You know what? Hezekiah took the letter that was written to him that was intended to scare him. And he did what we all need to do. He took it and laid it out to God. You know what? I've gotten your mail here. This is not really even about me. This is just somebody that doesn't believe in you. You know, sometimes we'll take things personal that people will say or do, when really it's not personal. It's about who they believe God to be. And for me, if I would do what Hezekiah did, Hezekiah, the very first thing he did was exalted God. Probably because it was good for him. He probably had a fear himself. It's true. They have taken over all these other places. And they're here now. But God is great. And so first thing he did was exalted who God was. And then he said, Lord, I want you to take a look at these folks. They're not coming against me. They're coming against you. And God was there to take care of it. There is a verse that in Psalms 115... like to look at it, because you would think in the day and time that we live in, this would not be a problem, but we're faced with it also today. 115 and 3. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Remember Elijah when he was up on Mount Carmel and they're going to have this contest. You pray to your gods. The one that answers by fire, he will be the God. You know, they prayed to their gods. They came up after no answer had come. They cut themselves. We would like for our God to answer, but that God was not able to. But God of Almighty, that created it all, spoke with fire and licked up the sacrifice and the stones and the water and everything around it. For us today, I look at this. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are likened to them. So is every one that trusteth in them. You ever go to a Chinese restaurant and you look over there, maybe not all of them have it, but a lot of them do. You will see this statue sitting over there with a little plate in front of it. And there will usually be fruit laid out there for him. And you know, it would be something if they had to put it more out there tomorrow because he ate it. he bent over and got it and peeled a banana and ate it, or the orange or whatever it was. But tomorrow they're going to have to throw that one in the trash because it rotted. He never even touched it. And they're going to put another fresh one out there in front of him. You know what? Something else we need to be thankful for is we serve a God in heaven. Those idols do not have a heaven to take us to. The God of heaven not only can help us in this life, but he has something out ahead more than what those idols can offer. This last verse, when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall thrill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Every one of us will have trouble come in our life in the future. The secret of it will be, how quick can I have God high and lifted up to where, when compared to God, this one is another small one.